Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Johnston, and welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm going to be running this one by myself this week, and we are going to be discussing three steps to repair things after an argument. Now, I'm sure none of you out there have ever had an argument with your spouse, right? No, of course. We all have. We have all had arguments. And yeah, I see a lot of people making some mistakes, and there, you know, I see a lot of people who don't talk about things afterward. They don't want to discuss what went wrong because, you know, that's just going to make things worse. Or perhaps they just completely say, you know, it's better to avoid all this yuckiness and whatnot. Or sometimes even people press harder into those situations. I want to talk about what you can do to make things better, to turn things around, and how do you repair things. But before we get into that, I want to get into our client win of the week. This one is coming in from Lori. Lori says that she wanted to share some encouragement to all of you. Please don't forget to do the work in the program. So Lori, you know, of course, is a participant in some of our programs and really advocating to make sure that you actually do the work. She continues saying, I'm 3 months into reconciliation, and what I learned from the program has kept us on that path. The ways I've learned to listen, to respond, and to solve problems in the right order have been crucial to the recovery of our relationship. And I'm going to echo that. I'm going to echo what Lori said, you know, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but, you know, I've given this a lot of thought. My team has given a lot of thought into what can really help repair things. How can we help you all get on that path to reconciliation? And I'm glad that Lori is actually finding a lot of use in it. And she's saying, hey, she's on that path and they're working toward things, which is a great place to be in, I'm going to point out. Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people would love to be in Lori's shoes where their spouse is working with them and trying to make things work. And it's a process and it takes a little bit of time, but some great advice there from Lori. Like I said, we're going to talk to you guys a bit about repairing arguments today. We also wanted to just kind of see what your opinion was on all of this. We actually went into the Facebook group and asked you all, you know, we were saying, okay, well, what do you do after an argument? And, you know, there's some people who are being very brutally honest and they say, okay, I withdraw, you know, or, you know, they take some time to think about the conversation. You know, there's a lot of people who try to just move on and say it's okay to disagree. And I think there's a lot of different takes on this, whether you just move on or you actually really take time to consider things and try to repair. People are of some different opinions. And, you know, it seems, you know, interesting to me that there are lots of different opinions on this because, you know, and I get it. It makes sense. It makes sense why some people might say, okay, I need to give this some thought before I come back to this and they need to calm down. It makes sense. And I can see why some people might say, you know, it's just best to move on and not bring up, you know, poor things again. I'm going to give you my opinion today about what I consider the best way to approach this. Now, I'm not going to pretend to, you know, sit here and say, you know, how I'm suggesting things is the only way to do this. I recognize in many circumstances, you kind of need to think about, you know, your own situation and, you know, the personalities involved in what has happened. Certainly, I think that there is room for a lot of different solutions, but I think these are good general steps for many, many situations. So with that said, I think that's where we're going to start. We're going to go right into three steps, three pieces that I think are really important in repairing an argument. Now, before we even get into this, I know I've been saying, you know, before we get into this, we're going to talk about this and this and this. I want to even talk about like why I think it is important to not just let problems like this go. You know, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know, I sometimes refer to Gottman. John Gottman, I think, is a smart guy when it comes to relationships. And I've even probably used this little tidbit of information before. But, you know, Gottman says that one of the most important skills in a relationship is the ability to repair. And I had to give that some thought. Like, why would he say that in particular is the most important skill? And certainly, as I've worked in the field of relationships for years and years now, it seems pretty clear that most every relationship is going to have its bumps. Every relationship is going to have problems. And what I see is the most resilient ones, the ones that do really well and last the longest, are the ones that learn to work through those problems, those arguments. So that's like just, you know, even before I get into steps, that's kind of the observation number one that I want to make, that it's of my opinion that it's better not to just let things go, that it's better to resolve concerns and problems. It's better to find space to communicate and have some understanding for each other. So into some of the steps, though. I do think that, you know, I think we labeled this podcast in terms of steps. I think it's more like principles to keep in mind. And the first principle that I want to discuss is this idea of having a do-over. You know, when there's been an argument, I'm going to say there's probably been some mistakes that have been made. Either people have shut down and, you know, stonewalled, or maybe they've escalated the argument. Maybe there's been some harsh words said, some things done in the heat of the moment. And there's some need, if you're the one that's trying to repair things, to take responsibility for your part in the argument, to do things differently. Sometimes, though, just discussing your responsibility for what's gone on in the argument may not be enough, especially problems that have been long lasting. If this has been some sort of reoccurring issue, you know, there's some need to consider all the problems that have led up to the argument. Even recently, my own wife and I had some argument, and it was around feeling considered. And it was interesting, you know, we had to end up, when we resolved things, we had to end up discussing not only just what had been argued about in that time, but also feelings from days, weeks, and years in the past. And it was really nice. It was nice to be able to discuss concerns that had built up for some time and to be able to let that out and have someone hear some concerns both ways. I think I'm of the opinion that arguments don't exist in a vacuum. They are more typically the culmination of long existing feelings that are suddenly coming out. And if people are having a hard time letting go of hard feelings, it often isn't enough to address solely what happened there in that moment. When you're trying to go about this do-over principle, this do-over thing, how are you approaching things differently this time? Are you now approaching this with a bit more calm, a bit more understanding? You know, if you're approaching things differently, often this can simply mean just an apology and that piece of taking responsibility for your part. But it can also mean starting off recognizing what went wrong and then, much like the name implies of the do-over, starting over with the right actions, you know, starting over with a compliment instead of a complaint, or starting over with some kind words instead of some sort of searing jab at your partner. Principle two is about creating the right frame of mind. I do think that most people don't make logical decisions, especially during an argument. And most everyone, I would say moment to moment, is mostly reacting according to how they feel. So I think, you know, when we're trying to revisit something that's been very stressful or tense, it's important to keep in mind, like, how are we feeling and how are we creating some better feelings in this interaction? It can often be really, really difficult to step away from the stress of an argument, all that anger, that tension that the argument created, especially if you're revisiting the topic. And this is why I can see why many people would say, you know what, we'll just let the past be the past. Well, let's just move on because it's okay to disagree. Because, like I said, it's hard to step away from that anger or tension that an argument created. But if you really can approach it with some thought, you know, it becomes a lot easier, especially if you are doing it purposefully. So what kind of frame of mind are you wanting to create now that you're coming back and you're trying to repair things afterward? Are you trying to create the sense that everyone is feeling heard and respected? Are you wanting everyone to feel calm? Do you want to make sure that you each can get what you're looking for? Are you trying to help make sure that there's a sense of love and caring between the two of you? Basically, it's really important here to be open, I think, about your intentions, what you're trying to accomplish, be very explicit, but also, you know, not just communicate those things, but be purposeful yourself in the mood that you're trying to create. Imagine trying to go back and apologize, trying to go back and repair things without that purpose. It becomes a lot harder to direct where this is going versus if you're saying, okay, I want things to be calm, so I'm going to speak calmly, and I want him to feel cared for, and so I'm going to use those words. You know, once you have like kind of an idea of where you want to go with this, it becomes a lot easier to get there. I do think the best tool that you have there in creating some new feelings, the best tool here in the arsenal is actually, I think, surprise, oddly enough. Essentially, if you can change up your pattern and do something different, it forces your partner to think about their situation a bit more. And I've seen this actually recommended by a number of other experts, you know, talking about how little bits of surprise when trying to revisit some tense moments can really help break the ice and break some of the tension. Even better if you can surprise your partner in some fun, light, or positive ways. So, you know, if things have been really tense and angry and things are escalating and you keep up that same tone of voice, but you say something very nice and kind about them, I mean, that can be very surprising and can really help shape the mood in the direction you want it to go. Now, the goal is not with some of the surprise to distract them from what's happened, but simply to get people to shift gears and get out of that negative mood. So, number one, do things over, do it over again, try to recognize what you need to do differently. Number two, create that right frame of mind by, you know, being purposeful with it and being very clear with your communication, but also trying a bit of surprise to get that frame of mind in. And principle number three is make sure that there's cooperation and clear agreements. I say this especially, well, it's for everyone. It's a little bit different depending on the kind of personality that you have. If you are more of a confident, bold, outspoken person, then make sure that when you are revisiting things, that you are taking the time to really confirm that what the solution is, you know, what your partner actually wants. And if you're the more timid, quiet, or soft-spoken type, then make sure that you're not just agreeing to things just to keep the peace. The number one mistake that people are making, I think, with this principle, this step here, is, you know, agreeing to things or creating agreements that aren't really agreements. Like I said, that outspoken person can just bowl other people over and get an agreement that's not really meant, or the soft-spoken person might be agreeing to things that they don't really want to agree to. I know this is kind of like a tricky sort of scenario, because there's all sorts of different dynamics that come into this, between like making sure that you're holding your ground, not creating imbalance in the relationship, not taking too much responsibility for the blame and the problems, not wanting to be labeled as the problem, wanting to feel heard. You know, there's a lot to consider. And I think the balance here, what we are trying to create when we're trying to create some cooperation and agreements, is a situation where you can each own up to your own mistakes and revisit the problem with clear heads, making sure that you can both get what you actually want and need from the situation. So how do we do that? I think the best approach here is making sure that your request is clear. And I'm saying this for all types of people. You know, typically during an argument, there's some unhealthy behavior that comes out. And it's important to recognize what the healthy request was underneath the unhealthy behavior. I always think that this is always the case with unhealthy behavior, that somewhere underneath there is some legitimate need, even something as terrible as abuse. And I'm not saying like, hey, you need to be making things up if your partner is abusive towards you. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to recognize that underneath unhealthy behavior like that, there are some legitimate needs, like someone who wants to feel heard or respected, someone who's feeling like they need to have some control over the situation in order to feel safe. And I could go on and on. That's not the point here, is to kind of, it's not to psychoanalyze, you know, what goes on with abuse, but it's important to understand the healthy requests underneath the unhealthy behavior. And usually when we can take a step back from all the emotion of an argument, it's a lot easier to see that each individual has some fairly understandable needs that they're trying to meet in these arguments. A good way to do this and to make your request a bit more clear is those cliche I statements. I'm really looking for something a bit more positive. I'm really looking for some connection. I would really appreciate some time together. So I statements. And the second part of that, you know, making things more clear, is stating your request in positive terms, not like accusations of what went wrong, but what you actually want. And I always find that that makes things a lot easier to have some follow through. Instead of saying, I don't want you to insult me anymore, that makes for a really, you know, difficult thing to a more tense situation. Rather, I would really appreciate some kinder words. Makes it really easy to understand what is wanted there. So make your request clear. Number two is make sure you're accommodating your partner with your request. So what would they need from you in order to provide what you're asking for? Examples for this is if you are expecting your partner, if you would really appreciate romantic evenings, if you would really appreciate connection, if you would really appreciate their attention or perhaps their respect, what would really help them in being able to provide that for you? Would they need some support in domestic responsibilities? Could they use some time to themselves in order to recharge after the end of a long day? Do they need some clear communication from you? Do they need you to speak up when you're feeling hurt? You know, essentially, you may need to support your partner to make sure that your request feels healthy. And I get this a lot. I get it a lot, you know, this sort of idea that, well, you know, I shouldn't have to accommodate my partner. They should just, you know, if I'm going to work, then they should, you know, make sure that dinner is hot and ready when I come home. Okay, that would be nice. But what would your partner need from you to make that feel okay? If there's a lot of resistance there, you do need to figure that out. if you don't want there to be resistance for your requests. You know, example two, if you're expecting your partner to put a lot of effort into creating romance in the relationship or for them to want more sex in the relationship, what are you doing to help foster that, you know, foster that in general in your relationship? Some things to consider. So I just want to do a quick recap. We're going to end things, we're going to have a shorter podcast this week. If you're looking to repair some things after some damage, keep these principles in mind. Do things over, as in take responsibility, do something different, start recognizing what went wrong and do the right things instead. Seems pretty basic, but make sure it's happening. Number two, create the right frame of mind. Make sure that you are accommodating the right kind of emotions in your interaction. And if you need be, really communicate clearly the kind of atmosphere that you want to create. You know, one tool there is surprise. Make sure that you're breaking up the patterns. And number three, make sure that there is clear agreements and cooperation, not just sort of half agreements that, you know, are being coerced in here. And especially, you know, make sure that you're communicating your request clearly and accommodating your partner in their ability to help you with your request. All right. That's mostly what we have today. So if you liked this video, please actually hit the button and come visit us on YouTube and hit the like button. We are, you know, I put out this content weekly and we're always, you know, having good tips, good little bits of advice on everything related to relationships. So feel free to come on back and check us out some more. If you are interested in a little bit more help, make sure that you come and check us out at www.highthrivecoaching.com/apply, where you can actually talk with someone from our team to see if any of our programs might be a good fit for your situation. So next week, we're going to share with you 5 signs of a strong and healthy relationship. So if you're looking to see what do I need to actually do to build things up and what do I need to work on to make things feel good and healthy, that's what we're going to be talking about then. All right, see you at that time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.